We're going to talk about a continuance of what we talked about the last time we met, namely the idea that, remember the sentence, you always focus on the doing part of it as opposed to the subject.
I can't think of
anything.
Oh,
yeah. And who is the I?
And what it means that we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And the reason we're studying all this is that you will never understand what it means to cast down imaginations unless you understand what the scripture means. To present, well, let me read it again.
Seems like we keep running into things that we have to know before we can cast out imaginations.
You noticed that, didn't you?
Why is that?
It's a pattern development.
This book you're going to have to know.
Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given for me, to me, for you, to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery, which hath been hid from all ages and from all generations. But now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, back in Isaiah 9, don't go there, I'll just listen to me. Isaiah 9, verse 6. It says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, etc., etc. And then it says, the zeal of the Lord of Hosts shall perform this. Now, there's an interesting process. As a Gentile, we are confronted with a situation and we do everything in our power then to solve that situation. Then we come to some kind of an end where we see the vanity of those solutions, either our own inability to accomplish it or the fact that we, if we accomplish it, it doesn't mean anything. Then we start to see a new thing. We start to a little bit believe that God will help us in some things. You've believed a little bit of the spy's report. So then you start to say, praise God, God's going to give me everything. And then it doesn't work. Then you start to say, just like the Gentile, oh my God, I can't cope with this. Then you start to say, I can't, but God can. Still deception. And then you say, I can do all things through Christ. Now, it doesn't mean through Christ as an external agent to you. It means you living as Christ in your form. So that all remnants of separation, all remnants of the independent self have been destroyed. That's the process of the Gentile, the child, the adolescent, the young man, and the father. Do you understand that a little bit? He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. One, not two. How do you see yourself? Remember the age-old question when you're a little kid, who am I? Who in the hell am I? What am I doing here? Of course, you never asked that question.
What am I going to be when I grow up?
Don't all of you still, for the most part, just see yourself as just you? You're some isolated little self that's running around doing stuff. Every once in a while, you know, you get a glimpse of the promise. But most of the time, you're in the wilderness. Most of the time, you're just keeping busy. Most of the time, you got to have noise and activity. Most of the time, what someone else says about you or says about your situation can threaten you to no end so that you can't hear anything. Okay, let's not do that anymore. We don't want to do that anymore. We don't want to believe anymore the report of the wimp spies.
The ten wimp spies.
Right. We don't want to believe that anymore.
Big grapes.
We want to believe the report. Let us go in and possess it. For we can overcome anything. Anything. Amen. For the Lord is with us. Or more properly stated, the Lord is in us. We don't want to believe any other reports. Now let's see how we get there from here. Can we do that? Mm-hmm. We're about to go on another journey.
Well, it didn't seem like we were not going on a journey.
Well, you've been too comfortable lately.
I have.
Instead of walking around, we're going to get on the train.
We're gonna shake up the camp.
Okay. The trumpet is sounding.
We're getting soft. Okay, let me ask you. Do any of you think that there's some part of you that's still tainted with selfishness?
No.
You want to rephrase that question?
Only other people.
Is this how others
are around?
You want to rehabilitate themselves.
Okay, no, listen, shut up. Let me ask the question again. I want you to raise your hands instead of giggling at me. You have to raise your hands.
Well, no, wait a minute.
Do you think there is something about you that is tainted with selfishness?
My wife thinks that, so I'm raising my hand. The record show one question. There were 47 hands raised.
Tainted isn't exactly the right word.
Painted? How about painted?
How about
painted?
Use the word.
How about
saturated?
Permeated. Reeking.
Okay.
It smells like selfishness to me.
Looks like selfishness. Smells like selfishness. Don't have to taste it to know it's selfish.
Okay, now, ask yourself. Who are you?
Self. Who are you?
Who are you? What?
Trivia Pursuit trick questions.
That's another one of those trick questions.
Who are you?
I'm between knowing who I was and knowing who I am.
When Paul said, I glory in nothing but the cross, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. He said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved him, who loved me and gave himself for me. Who are you? When you pick up the cross, when you abandon self, you automatically change identities. You are exchanged. You are reconciled to a new creation. You still are too fucking religious. You still believe that picking up the cross and abandoning yourself means stop doing something or get better or do this or feel sorry for that. We're about to enter the promise. You can't do that anymore. By the cross, you can say with authority that you are Christ in Pete form, or Harry, or any of you. Examine yourselves, prove that you're in the faith. Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. The mystery which has been hid from all ages and all generations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's not room for two in that vessel any longer. You are crucified. There is only one life. Do you see it? Do you at least sense it a little bit? Mm-hmm. Then guess what? You are not selfish. For he is not selfish.
I knew that was coming.
You are him in you.
Hit the buttons.
You're too late.
You never know who you are.
You're too late. Give him name tags. You have late slips.
Late slips.
Your parents.
That's good.
Need help.
Somebody can sit there.
Hey.
Do you understand what I've just said to you?
Yes. Yeah, I missed it. I've been accused all day by my mind for being this or that, and I hear this voice accusing me. And I know it's a voice, and it's external to myself or something, and
it's time that we cast down the imaginations. It's time we brought every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You, if I say to you, you are selfish, or if you believe your own self that you are selfish, you have bought into the lie of the Antichrist, and you've given back the ground that was gained at the cross.
Amen.
You bought into the one lie. Now, whether or not you, if you could just hear this for the first time maybe in your life, you are precious. You are the precious expression of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are, from this moment forward, to love yourself. The lie of separation has no more power over you. The lie of a separate identity has no more power over you. That's faith that worketh by love. Examine yourselves. Prove that you're in the faith. Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate? You're not reprobate. That's the definition of reprobate. If you don't know that Jesus Christ is in you, you are from this moment forward in your mind, and you'll never believe anything else, no matter what comes against you, that you are the precious expression of the Father. And it's His good pleasure to give you all things. The Antichrist, the lie of doing and of seeing separateness, should have never again power over you. That's what it means to pick up the cross. That's what it means to possess the land. That's what it means to be to apprehend that for which you have been apprehended by. Don't believe the wimp spies anymore. Now, it doesn't matter what modifier you put on there. What we did before, for those that came in late, I said, how many of you think you're selfish? And everybody giggled and laughed, and everybody raised their hands. Then I said, well, who are you? If you have picked up the cross, and if you have abandoned self and repented from this self, you've turned from it, you have only a singular identity. That singular identity is now a new creation. Not becoming someone someday, but a new creation in Christ Jesus now. Now.
What does it mean to love yourself? I don't think I even understand that. I'm pretty sure I don't
Who's
understand.
Loving themselves?
Well, I don't even know about who, but...
Love your neighbor as yourself. In this is all the law and the prophets fulfilled.
Seems like acceptance is tied up in it, you know?
Accept yourself, forgive yourself. Trust yourself. Love yourself.
If you don't see any separation between you and God, then you won't see any separation between you and whoever.
Can you accept that for a minute?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's put some modifiers on this. Have any of you fallen for a trespass which has become habitual? Have any of you fallen for a trespass or been, let me put it another way, are any of you subject to a trespass which has become habitual with you?
Which is dating dogs.
What?
You believe you're always doomed to fall there in that arena. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
Raise your hand.
We know what yours is.
Now, this trespass is what you do. And it can be do or do not do. Like, you cannot handle money. You cannot organize your time. You get bent out of shape when relatives come in the room. You can't handle confrontation. You can't handle the temptations of sex. You can't stop telling lies. You can't stop feeling depressed. You can't stop feeling anxious. You are unable to abandon yourself. You can't stop thinking about yourself. You can't stop being concerned about your future. You can't stop worrying about your children. You can't help but be concerned for your family's well-being. Do you understand? Spiritually, every one of those is a trespass. Now, when you can say those words, what you end up what you're saying is that you feel that you're doomed forever in that arena. Am I communicating with you? Shall I be specific?
Sure. Never hurts.
Well, start with Matt.
But always.
This has nothing to do with that. This one.
How many people believe that? Raise your hand.
It's
called strategic ping.
What do you call it?
Strategic ping.
I wish Denise was here.
You can't stop this feeling, this sense of inadequacy. You can't stop this unending attempts, these unending attempts to establish your own worth. You can't get along with a particular person. You can't understand the doctrine. I will always have money problems. I can't organize my time. I can't stop procrastinating.
You can go on to somebody else then.
If I come to
I will never, ever be able to get rid of this infirmity. I will never be able to lose weight. I'll never be able to gain weight.
Never stop smoking.
I can't stop smoking. I can't stop these weird sexuality in my mind. I can't stop drugs. Should I go on?
You've got the picture.
You're in bad shape.
You should not have said that. I should have said that.
It was like, here, drop it.
I can't stop.
Oh,
my God.
I can't take my foot out of my mouth.
You too? But see, that's what Larry said is very true, because I can't be complete without you. God no longer is dealing with as an individual.
Yeah.
He's dealing with as a body.
Yeah.
That's great.
Let's hope so.
Now, don't you see that you've been focusing your mind and your energies on the doing part, mm-hmm. on the issues to overcome,
mm-hmm. yeah.
the problems, whether we can do this or that, whether we can resist this or change that. Yeah. Can you
capture for a minute that you're focused on the doing?
Yes.
Now, so what you do is you come to this position, and it's what's driven me up the wall about each one of you in one way or another for years. And this, it's when you say, well, that's just me.
It's the way I'm made.
It's just the way I am. That's a lie. Don't you realize that everything about you is animated, energized, enlightened, made alive, made tingly, made goosebumply, if you want? Everything about you is energized by the only power in the universe. This is the mystery that has been hid from all ages and all generations, and it's been hid from you. The reason it's been hid from you is you've had to, in the escape from Egypt, you had to go through the wilderness. Now it is time to possess the land. Now, if I'd have taught this 10 years ago, it couldn't have done. It couldn't have worked. It's the same teaching. It's the same cross. It's the same abandonment of self. But it's now bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. No more separation. No more independent self. No more poor little weak you.
Amen. Yes, but the thoughts have been under obedience to someone else than Christ, and you've been bringing them all in, but not with any cleansing effect.
You understand that not all of those things that I enumerated, those aren't. That's not the sin. That's the work of the flesh. The sin is not believing who you are.
Right.
That's what the sin offering covered, if we'd only had seen it. You know, I know all of you say, well, Oli says that this, when he's studying Romans, this is the most exciting book, and we're studying Leviticus, this is the most exciting. But when we were in Leviticus, and we still are, by the way, and chopping up the offerings, and I told you what the sin offering meant, none of you understood it. If you apprehend the sin offering, you can never use a negation along with your identity ever again.
Use that as an excuse.
Is apprehending the sin offering the same thing as casting down imaginations?
Well, it's apprehending the sin offering and the trespass offering is the same as casting down. Now, again, remember, Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, when He has come, He will convict the world of sin because they believe not on me. Believing not is the sin. Believing what? Believing the mystery that has been hid from all generations. Each of you have gone through a process. Some have apprehended more than others, but none of you have apprehended all. That battle's over. finished. You own all things. The lie is your belief system that says all of the other stuff.
Yeah.
Do you understand that a little bit?
It's like when you're sitting there thinking that you're screwed up about something. It's just, that's not, I mean, anything that's happening to you is not even for you, and it's not even what it...
The trespass, or what you do, is Satan having his field day in your members as a result of you believing there is some independence in yourself.
Right.
Instead of believing a total Christ living as you. That's what it means to possess the land. Now, again I would ask you, those of you who are tempted to improve yourself by the flesh, have you begun in the spirit? Are you going to be perfected by the flesh? Hell no. You who have begun in the spirit will be perfected, and my job is to present you perfect in Christ Jesus by apprehending the fullness of what your inheritance is. And that can be done only when you stop believing the lie of the Antichrist. The lie of separation. I am selfish. I am this. I am that. I can't handle this. I can't handle that. You see through the lie and see who you are. And therein you pick up the cross. Is there any apprehension?
Yeah.
Does it touch you where you live? Some of you look like you're stunned.
I'm feeling instead of hearing.
Again, the only issue is belief or unbelief. Now, do we believe by faith that Jesus Christ is in us? In our forms, that he's living. You see, you either believe that Christ is something that, you know, like we talked about, where is your Christ, or you believe you just have a little bit of Christ. You say, oh, I got his little finger, or. But it's a total Christ. He's living his life totally in you as him. It's not optional, folks. It's either all right or all wrong.
Yeah. It doesn't seem that way.
That's a big lie.
We believe we are less than that. Is that what we believe? We believe we are less than that. Well, some independent part of us is not under his dominion. That's what we believe.
Yeah.
Some part of what we do or what we are is not under his dominion. Well, that's the lie.
Big lie.
Big lie. Now, that's what I read at first. What we do, listen to this carefully. What we do not see as under him, i.e. under the government of Christ, automatically goes by default into the camp of the enemy. There's no middle ground. What you do not see as under his government automatically goes by default into the camp of the Antichrist. And you don't get out of there by trying. You don't get out of there by calculating. You don't get out of there by becoming a better person. You don't get out of there by learning some new technique. You don't get out of there by any how-tos. Hallelujah. You get out of there by the cross of Christ, and you see that arena as under the total dominion and under the government of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are not of those who draw back unto perdition. Can you feel it just a little bit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's think about it.
Huh? Can we what?
Stop right there. Stop now.
Part of me feels it.
Now listen to me carefully. He lives in us totally. And he expresses himself out of our lives as he pleases. There is no aspect of your life, past, present, or future, that is not, has not, and will not be under his dominion and his government. You never have been an independent self. You are not now an independent self. You never can be an independent self. This is the mystery that has been hid from all generations. There is nothing left to do. You see Jesus. What it means to see Jesus, it means to see that he is in perfect control of that arena. You no longer see yourself as weak, beggarly, horny, whatever it is you see, or rich or poor or anything. There's no modifiers. It's I am. This is the glorious liberty of the children of light. And it's either all liberty or all bondage. That's the inheritance that's set before us. That's the promised land that we are to possess. And possess it fully. You realize your conversations are going to have to change from now on. The big lie is going to be exposed every time you open your mouth. But slowly, the fullness of this will be revealed. And by this knowledge, this is what, there's a lot of things I've waited years to talk about. And this is one of them. But by this knowledge, as I said many times, a group much smaller than we, with much less resources than us, turned the world upside down in one generation. This is your only vocation. And as you see this, every need will be met with no effort on your part, fully, as you stop believing the lie. Does it tinkle just a little bit? Mm-hmm. Is the light shining in a dark place just a little bit? Yeah. Grab onto that light. Because to whom much has been given, much more shall be given. Stuff. So you thought I was going to jump on you.
Except in the second guy.
From now on, you only have one thing to do. It's to see through and believe. No more believe. You can't get by anymore. You get cut up in little pieces when you try to speak or believe the lie of separation. That we are just ourselves, or we're just ourselves, nervous, weak, or we're domineering, or we're fat, or we're shy, or we're wounded, or we're hurt, or we're depressed, or we're unable to handle money, or we're unable to handle time, or we're so sick. Oh. That's when you'll get chopped to little pieces.
You
certainly won't hear that in our conversation.
But we'll call it.
What?
I said we certainly won't hear that in our conversation.
I wonder why talk stops.
That's right. Yeah. There was silence in the temple for a long time.
Dummy up your eyes, it's totally
fine. Tom's nowhere. Furtive glances.
Bunch of couple of white Christs sitting around talking.
Now, all of that. All of that is simply believing in the lie of separation.
Amen.
The lie of an independent you. And that lie came from the pits of hell. And it makes, that lie is more ugly than anything you've ever seen, but you make it sound so sincere. Mm-hmm. We're not going to do that anymore. It's dumb to do that. This is us not doing that anymore. Now we're going to see through and believe. Now, I don't care how difficult it is for you to say this. We are Christ in our form. Not the salvation of the independent self, but by this activity, the body has been prepared for Him. He is our life. And all power, let me say it again, all power in heaven and in earth has been delivered over to who we are, to our identity, to our self. Mm-hmm. For as He is in the world, so are we. You are free. Freer than you've ever dreamed possible. So this night, you've heard the report of the spy, and you've seen that it was reliable. Now this night, rise up and possess the land.
Amen.
For we are able to overcome anything, for the Lord of hosts is in us. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the thing that goes hand in hand with this is the act of waiting on the Lord. Think of the patience. Consider the patience of Job, the patience of Jeremiah, of Paul, who in this knowledge refused by their own strength to solve the problems that they were confronted with. And the reason was is they recognized that the apparent thing, suffering or whatever was taking place in response to something they physically felt, was simply the chastening of the Father. Not for punishment, but for perfection. Now consider every time you're confronted with a situation that troubles you, by which your soul is troubled, your mind, your emotions, your will, your sensory perception, your response to that situation is always and ever the same as that of Christ. You're honest, so you say, Father, my soul is troubled. But what shall I say? Deliver me from this hour? No, for this hour came I unto the world. Do you understand?
Yes.
And therein is this grand humility of the it's the arrogance of humility.
It's the charm of knowing. And it's the freedom from ever again having to be confused by the vanity of your mind. And now we can begin to know God as Daddy. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Every other situation is incidental. Every other stimulus you're confronted with is meaningless. Because you have been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dearly beloved Son. You don't have to walk as the other Gentiles walk in the vanity of your mind any longer. You don't have to confront situations with cause and effect. You confront them by casting all your care upon Him. Every time the soul is troubled, you command the soul to wait on Him because you have cast your burden on the Father. You no longer let your mind get by with this idea. If there's a place in your mind, I'll say it again, if there is a place in your mind or in your life that you do not see as under the government of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is automatically under the government of the Antichrist. There's no in between.
If God work salvation and waiting, trusting in Him, then which is active, then if you deliver over that same ground, Satan likewise work destruction in that.
Amen. Hey, listen to this. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, or waiting, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by his faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe in every arena, seeing who you are, to the saving of the soul. Now,
you drew a distinction when I used the expression Jesus in you. What's his?
As opposed to Christ.
As opposed to Christ or Jesus Christ.
Well, remember, if you only think it's Christ in you, then there's some kind of amorphous spirit of Christ that's running around teaching you stuff, then that's what the New Age movement is teaching. And it's the unbelief that the Word was made flesh.
Yeah, Christ is an office.
Amen?
Yeah, and that's what they deny.
If you believe that it's Jesus, then what you are saying is that you are trying to be perfected in the flesh. It's Jesus Christ in you. The Logos, the Word made flesh. Animated completely, totally, totally expressing Himself in you as Him. No more lies of separation. No more lies of seeing that while this area of my life I'm having trouble with. Those are all lies because you do not see that the government is under His control. And again, we've talked about this before. The reason that the desire for control is so insidious is because it's based on a belief that you're separate and therefore have to control the situation. All fear is based first on an innate desire for control. All desire for control is based on the lie that you're separate, an independent self, separate from that which is power. You understand? You are no longer, you're not selfish, because he isn't selfish. You're not, I mean, it's, do you understand? It's again in this little sentence. It's no longer, I can't cope with this situation. That's the can't, because your attention goes on the I can't cope. Your attention is on the subject. I can do all things through Christ. God always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. And thereby you cast down imaginations and you will bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The imaginations are there because of the belief in separateness. So they're all caused by the one big lie. And all false religion promotes the salvation of the isolated self and denies his finishedness in you, including your false religion, including your propensity to run to Babylon. This is the glorious liberty that we've been given over into. This is the doctrine into which we have been delivered. This is the freedom that where the Son has made you free, you're free indeed. Amen?
Amen.
Now, whether or not you can fully understand it, you will be inexorably changed from this moment forward, because we're going in boldly to possess the land. Not you as an individual. That will be manifested, but because in us as a body, that's our inheritance, and it's rightful, and it's lawful. So every time you're confronted, sometimes it's helpful. I mean, you know, when you're a child, you speak as a child sometimes, but now there's going to be rapid movement here. If you think you have something that you can't cope with, or a problem, or a situation, write it down. And look at the subject and the object and the verb. And remember, the lie is in the subject. Amen?
That's right.
Now, let me read one other thing, then we'll quit. Never again will I confess or speak about my lack in anything, in any arena. For my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Never again will I confess I cannot. For I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Never again will I confess fear or speak fear or think fear. For God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Never again will I confess or speak doubt or think doubt or lack of faith. For God has given to every man the necessary measure of faith. Never again will I speak about this inherent weakness, for the Lord is the strength of my life, and the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Never again will I speak or think of the supremacy of Satan over my life, for greater is he that is in me, hallelujah, than he that is in the world. Never again will I speak or think defeat. For God always, always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. And all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to the called according to his purpose. Never again will I speak or think sickness. For with his stripes I am healed. And he himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Never again will I think or speak that I am stupid or dumb or lacking in the area of mental capacities. For Jesus Christ has made unto me wisdom. Never again will I think or speak worry or frustration. For I instantly cast all my care upon him, for he careth for me. Never again will I think I'm in bondage to anything or under anything's control. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Never again will I think or speak or accept condemnation from anyone. For there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, let's possess the land, for we shall overcome them. For the Lord of hosts is in us. Take it, big guy. P.S. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, since our obedience is fulfilled. Now, the revenge is the instant this enemy, this mind, this Antichrist, begins to come in. Just slay the mother. That's what it means to have in readiness to revenge all disobedience. You see it?
It's kind of like a video game.
Oh, it's the most exciting video game in the history of the universe. You got big weapons to kill the big lie. Okay, everybody understand perfectly?
Perfectly.
Yes, comment.
What's that comment?
I was thinking about this idea of, you know, contrasting what the New Age movement says about the Spirit of Christ, you know, Christ in you, like the Unity Church, you know, the Christ Spirit that's everywhere. And, you know, the idea of Jesus Christ, you know, having been tested in our same infirmities, I mean, that's part of what we're talking about here, is that no matter what it is that we think is separating us
It's been taken care of.
Yeah, the fact is that Jesus Christ has been there. He's been all the way to that point.
Amen.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. That's important. Because, any other way, you know, you'll have... I mean, what will make you feel separate is you'll have a picture or an idea.
You're going through it first time alone. Nobody's ever been victorious.
If Christ was in me, he wouldn't be doing this. And I mean that, you know, that'll be the first place it starts. And you know that, I mean, then that whole feeling of separation.
Then the ground, yeah. Then you give back that little inch, and then.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking that talking about the center of the universe, total egotistical position, and at the point of the cross, that is the center of the universe.
Amen.
And it is totally egotistical.
And wherever the cross is, it is the capital of the universe.
That's right.
Wherever the cross is preached, it's the why the universe exists.
Amen. This thing, as Doug was talking, this thing about, it seems that man does have this innate desire to believe in Christ, the Messiah. But just Christ, this idealized antiseptic God thing.
Right.
And that leads to the thing, the Jesus thing, which is the being perfected in the flesh. But it seems like it's the same thing about, it seems that all men have this desire to place women on a pedestal. It's the same thing, it's the desire to put God up there on a pedestal someplace under a glass case.
Only if they have gutter belts.
Rather down in the gutter where we
push up around.
Where I belong.
Yeah.
Always like that. Like
Woody Allen said, "I'm going to place my wife underneath a pedestal."
Well, happy birthday, Barbara, and take a big guy the second time.
Thank you.